B-Pod Studios.
Great, hello, hello, hello.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday.
All positive day.
Waving another gay flag.
It's the Toucher and Rich Show.
Let's all love this horse.
Featuring Rich Certainly and smiling Fred Toucher.
Buddy, good morning. Friday, huh? Next week for a lot of us is the Thanksgiving holiday, so we'll have those days off, and a lot of you are in retail, and so be kind.
Is this all of a sudden Eddie Money? Yeah, you got a lot of people out there going to malls. Hey, a lot of shopping.
Listen, man, the hour yesterday brought people down, so today it's just about keeping things on the uptick.
For how long? Just this segment to the first hour?
The first hour. No, I'm not going to put on a voice or anything. It's just the first hour. I'm not going to be negative.
Okay.
It's going to be positive. Yeah, you can watch us on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv. You can search 98.5 The Sports Hub. Or you can get the 98.5 The Sports Hub app, 617-779-0985. Brandon, hello.
Wow, what an opening there. That really helps support my message. I just wanted to call in and congratulate you, Fred, on hitting 20K. I see you keep growing on Instagram. Going to have an APD, right? And then the only other thing I want to say, I can't believe Joey Jazz Hands didn't go back and listen to the segment. That was unreal.
Hey, listen, Joey is a busy guy and a very talented prognosticator and a very talented broadcaster. So he didn't want to be brought down, you know. He didn't want to listen to it. That's fine. Ben, go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Influencer Fred. How are you, sir?
Hi, Ben. Good to hear your voice.
How do we feel about hitting 20,000 on Instagram?
I'll tell you, it feels like $1 million, Ben. Thank you. And I know you have been there since the beginning. You have been there since the beginning. Ben has been a big fan of my Instagram at Fred Toucher, and I want to thank Rich for putting up to follow me, and I want to thank Joe Murray, who also put something up about following me. I saw I was at the CVS. I was getting a dental rinse that I needed to get from the pharmacy, and I popped on the phone, and sure enough, I saw Rich had put something up, and I saw that Joe Murray had put something up.
Good. So across 20K, it's been a long climb up, but you made it.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Just like that. You get the word out, and all of a sudden things happen. The best, though, is that I put a picture up of us because I just wanted to find a picture of you smiling. Like, hey, this is Fred happy. Let's make him even happier by getting away at 20K. And it's just a photo of us from, I don't know, like 5 years ago or something. And like the comments, a couple of comments came in. It's like, did you guys skip arm day? What is arm day? Like normal human beings don't like have a day that's put aside for arms. I know that that's a thing people say, but really, what percentage of the universe has an arm day?
Carabas has an arm day.
Okay, Carabas has an arm day.
Carabas absolutely has an arm day. Trust
like,
me.
I will never have an arm day. Like when I work out, it's like my day of the week that I, you know, I'll run and I might lift a weight or two, but there's never a day. Like I don't work out so much that there's certain days. You know what? This is going to be ankle day. That's not me. And I just love when people say that. I'm like, honestly, what percentage of people have a day specifically for their arms? And if they do, man, they got an ass load of time on their hands.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would imagine it's, what would it be? It would be chest and back. Then you would have leg day. Because in my experience when I worked out with trainers, it would be shoulders and biceps, back, chest, and tris, and legs.
So tris are different from bis.
Yes, because the tricep is generally a pulling motion. No, that might be wrong. But triceps is when you do your chest, you're activating your triceps. When you're doing your shoulders, to my knowledge, you're activating your biceps. But yes, an arm day to go to the gym and say, I'm going to devote... And listen, the results are there. The guys that you've mentioned are look great, but the time to devote, you're right, Rich, and like I'm going to the gym for an hour, and during this time I'm just going to do concentration curls.
Just
and,
on arms.
Yeah, yeah. And to do, you know, tricep extensions would be something else.
Well, listen, when you go to the boot camp, like I used to before things went crazy, that's a full body workout, well, baby. I
mean, you ran backwards on the treadmill, right?
And almost busted my face, yeah, right. Which was that part. They stopped doing that, thank goodness. That was not a wise idea.
Well, the first thing, hey, listen, the first thing you got to get back into that boot camp and tell your body things are going great again. Manny, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, happy Manny. Monday. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Fred, congratulations. 20,000 plus followers. That's a milestone, man. Good for you. But I am going to call into question the comment at the beginning of the show that you're going to go an hour without being negative. So you've got about 53 minutes to go, 54 minutes to go. I wish you the best on that. And you guys have a great Thanksgiving. Bye.
Thank you. Enjoy your Thanksgiving as well. I can do it. I can go an hour without saying anything negative.
New York Jets.
Hey, listen, Trevor Lawrence, and even if they don't get him, what a fallback in Justin Fields, huh? I mean, that would be a number one pick most years. Except
James Corden.
Oh, boy. I was told when you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything at all.
Well done.
I racked my brain there for a second and couldn't think anything.
Very talented singer, Fred. Very talented singer.
Hey, listen, if he brings people joy, more power to him. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, guys, there's an inside joke. If people have really skinny legs, you say that they skip leg day. So this guy must be saying that you guys have really skinny arms with that comment.
No. I don't mind that. Like, I don't mind not having big arms. I mean, there's no, to me, I just don't want giant fat arms. Like, as a matter of fact, that's really the only thing I don't want. My arms can be like sticks. I actually wouldn't even care. I just don't want like dinner lady arms. You know, like the big old ones where the
guys. But, you know, I don't think you realize the part that starts sucks.
Yeah. Yes, hey, but listen, but how much joy does that bring you? I mean, I know that's. It's like calling a skinny guy fat when you say that about Sarge. The thing about skinny legs is I don't think there's anything you can really do about it. I mean, at a certain point, unless you're injecting massive amounts of hormones, I think that you have skinny legs. It's not like I could go to the gym and do legs three times a week and come out with big legs. I'd always have skinny legs.
Well, I guess it is kind of funny every once in a while when you see like a gym rat. And a guy whose upper body looks like an action figure, and he does have like tiny little sticks. Like, that's pretty funny because you would think the genetics that you were born with would make it so, hey, if these muscles up here can get jacked, then the ones down there can get jacked as well. That's when it actually does look funny.
And they're very sensitive. In my experience, you come across those people, they are very sensitive about the fact that they are unable to bulk up that portion of their body. I had a kid I went to school with was very sensitive about that because he did. He, just like you said, Rich, he looked like an action figure but had legs of sticks. And you'd tease him about that and he'd go nuts.
Well, is that true? Like, so if you, like, because I don't know. As you know, I'm not, by looking at me, you can tell that I am no expert in the things that I'm sure Ted Johnson knows everything about. But is that really true? Like, you can be able to get jacked in your upper body, but it's impossible genetically for your lower body to have the same result?
There are frames, endomorphic, ectomorphic. I'm not looking on the web, so I can't tell you exactly what each means, but there are endomorphic and ectomorphic, and based on your genetically your frame, short of inducing foreign substances into your blood, into your body, it is kind of what it is.
So it's a Jake from State Farm knows about arm day. Like, that's gratuitous. Yeah. Have you seen the commercials where he's standing next to, like, Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers, and he looks like more of a football player than they do?
Hey, but listen, that's some good insurance. Marissa, go ahead, Marissa. Hello, Marissa.
I just want to tell you that everyone in Twitch fam loves you just the way you are, Fred. We love listening to you. In fact, it's Rich that annoys us.
Well, Marissa, thank you so much.
Trying to keep things
thank
positive.
Thank you for watching on Twitch.tv. And listen, everyone loves Rich. Everyone on Twitch loves Rich. That's the way it goes. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Freddie, congratulations. I'm feeling in a good mood, too. I just want to say Kevin Can Wait's the funniest show I've ever seen. I just love it so much. Bye.
I will tell you this, is that I think Kevin James would tell you that – the years he put in on the King of Queens were probably the most rewarding artistically for him. I mean, when you've captured an audience's attention like that, when you're leaving on your own terms as well, you know, that's pretty much what you
mastered the pratfall. He was very good at it.
I mean, a physical comic.
Yeah.
You know, he's brought people hours and hours of joy there. That Kevin James. Rich, what's coming up in the old stackaroo?
Well, let's get to our next guest, the Mad Fisherman, who we're going to have on with us, Fred. I'm thinking about putting him on in your all positive day. What do you think about that?
Great. the guy has great watches. he seems to, you know, know where he is in the world and has a good opinion of himself.
Yeah, no, let's get to everything that happened with the Celtics yesterday and the Gordon Hayward situation as it is constantly evolving. We'll get to that in just a moment.
All right, all coming up on the web.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Is not your conventional sports radio show.
It's become painfully clear.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night? 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Rich, what's going on?
Well, after the Celtics agreed to a two-day extension just before 5 p.m. yesterday, Gordon Hayward decided to opt out of his $34 million final year as a Boston Celtic. So now we wait, because this could end up either being no big deal or it could end up blowing up in their faces. Let's start with the best-case scenarios first. So the Celtics and Hayward could still come to terms on a long-term deal at a lower annual salary. I'd be somewhat surprised if they did that, but depending on the money, I actually wouldn't mind that at all. They also could put together a sign and trade to send him to a team that does not have the salary cap space to sign him outright. Both of those scenarios make it so that the Celtics don't have to forfeit the value of that $34 million cap hit. But then there's the worst case scenario, and that is where Gordon straight up signs as a free agent with another team and the Celtics can't do anything with the money and they are screwed. Now, two things. Number one, according to Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe, as of last night, Hayward has not informed anyone at the Celtics that he intends to depart. And then there's number two. Something real interesting about all this. Despite Shams Charania from The Athletic reporting on Hayward declining his option, we haven't heard a peep from either Adrian Wojnarowski or Yahoo's Chris Haynes, who was the first guy who reported that Hayward was coming to the Celtics in the first place. On top of that, there's that two-day extension that they gave him. So, John and Fred, that all says to me that he's working something out with the team, whether it's a trade, a sign-and-trade, or it's an extension, because if he was just straight-up leaving, why wouldn't they report it? And Haynes seems to be closest to the situation. Why wouldn't you announce that he's leaving unless you knew that there was a bit more to the story?
Well, the thing that Brian Robb wrote a couple days ago about why this was all going on led me to believe, at least the way that he wrote it, that it was Hayward had all the advantage in this, in that if he just would have opted out and not worked with the team and just said, as you guys know, severely limits the places he can go based on salary considerations. So it behooves him to work with the Celtics because it, you know, widens the amount of teams that he can go to by quite a bit because of the sign and trade implication.
Yeah, Indiana. If he just left, he couldn't go to Indiana.
Right, exactly.
Something that he wouldn't be able to do.
Right, so he could go, he could go to the Knicks, he could go
in
to Atlanta.
Atlanta.
And so, you know, why limit yourself to that? So you're better off working with the team.
I think he has one, if not multiple, you know, two or three-year deals on the table. And ever since it's gone this far, I've been operating under the assumption that he's leaving. It's just how he leaves. And the extension was set up for Danny to hopefully make something happen. He hoped it had happened on draft night. It didn't happen on draft night. So he was trying to get a trade in place today so that at least he'd get something back. I think Hayward knows that he has a multi-year deal out there waiting for him, whether it be the Knicks or Atlanta or Charlotte or whoever it is. He's not coming back here. He's not declining that option to sign a 3 or 4 year contract with this team to be fourth again on the go-to chart.
No, I don't think anyone thinks he's staying.
No, it's just whether they can get some of that money and they can sign and trade him, because, I mean, that's a best case scenario.
Yeah, sure. So if he had an ideal, by the way, going to Charlotte would be pretty funny to go in at the same day as LaMelo Ball.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see how that works out.
Yeah, you have Terry Rozier, who can be wild at times on offense, and then you have LaMelo Ball, who I don't think passes much at all. I mean, he's supposed to be a very gifted passer,
right?
But I mean, his game is raw, to say the least. Gordon Hayward goes to Charlotte, he's not winning anything until he retires. I mean, Charlotte is way off, but I mean, Gordon Hayward apparently wants to go somewhere and be the number one or two guy. And with the Knicks, he'll be that. The Knicks have loads of cap space to spend on him. They can afford to give him $25 million a year. I think it's one of those three teams. I think his best option would be Atlanta, because at least they have a shot to make the playoffs next year. But, I mean, all things considered, there's no way in hell he comes back to Boston, and that's too bad.
I got a weird feeling he's going to get more money than, like, if for some reason there isn't a sign and trade and he goes free agency, I just have a weird feeling he's going to get like $30 million a year for 3 years.
Boy.
I can feel it. I mean, there's always an overpayment. And right now, which is kind of weird, he will be one of the biggest free agents available. And with free agency like slated to start at 6 o'clock today, you're going to know something by this evening. But I'm always blown away. Like the Horford deal, I was blown away by that. I have a weird feeling we're going to get kind of the same reaction if he ends up not doing a sign and trade, which would really screw the Celtics. But who really cares about Hayward anyway, when the Celtics have an even more troubling situation on their hands? One that I think is unforgivable.
No one knows what it's like.
Those sons of bitches at Causeway Street declined to give Brad Wanamaker a qualifying offer.
Behind blue eyes.
So he's going to become a free agent and lead some other lucky team to the promised land. Now, listen, there is a chance that they could re-sign him, especially if Hayward leaves. So get the hell out of town, Gordon.
No.
There's not enough room for both of you.
He's not coming back, Rich.
If Hayward leaves, then maybe he can stay.
No, he's not. They drafted his replacement 2 nights ago. He's not coming back to compete with that guy Pritchard for the backup job.
There's no replacement for Brad Wanamaker.
Well,
you can say
that's the given.
But they have a Brad Wanamaker type guy,
Pritchard,
hopefully,
right,
at his ceiling.
He's going to be the backup, but will he truly replace him? Probably not.
No. Mark my words, they will rue the day.
They're saying Wanamaker could get money.
Get some money based on what he did
in the playoffs.
Very solid, yes.
Look at his numbers. He was solid. Yeah. He was solid. You know, they just got to, like, you know, let him fly.
Yeah.
They got to put him in a place where he can bloom.
It's kind of the deal that comes back to haunt you.
That's true.
You know, you're in the playoffs, and all of a sudden, here comes the modern-day microwave. Brad Wanamaker finally getting his due. Just off the bench, heating things up.
You watch the Brad Wanamaker revenge game. It's going to be something, you know, get a ticket because your mouse will be on the floor.
Everyone's
going
to have their Wanamaker jerseys with the tape over Wanamaker. Just like, no thank you.
The tribute video after the first time out in the first quarter.
Yeah, Fred, people aren't going to hate Wanamaker. They know that he got done dirty. Like, this is one of those where, you know, even the fans will be like, you got done
yeah,
dirty.
But if he goes to a heated rival and it's a playoff scenario and he's heating things up, I mean, you've spent all that money on the Wanamaker jersey, and who knows who's going to take his number next.
That's a good point.
I mean, you got to cover it with tape.
If they're not considering putting it in the rafters, I mean, who knows?
No, I mean, he didn't play here long enough, but, you know, maybe if he comes back someday.
Well, meanwhile, Enes Kanter has opted into his $5 million deal for the season.
Good for Enes Kanter. He seems like a nice guy. He's going to play a lot.
Well, I mean, he's probably not going to play a ton, but...
Yeah, you never know.
I think it's more... To be honest, I think they're going to trade him. I think this is... He's sitting there as trade bait. I think he's going to be part of some sort of deal that they're going to make. I don't think they have plans for Enes Kanter, but just stuff I've been reading.
Do they have any possible destinations that would
No, he'd be included with somebody, like in a trade, to get somebody bigger.
So. Salary filler type of thing?
Yep, salary filler. Yeah. It's almost perfect with that $5 million. Well, if you're wondering which of the recent glut of draft picks the Celtics value yesterday, they extended qualifying offers to Tremont Waters, which I'm excited to see actually play, and Taco Fall, which is a little bit of a head scratcher, making them both restricted free agents. Also, the dude that looks like Zod but never played, Vincent Poirier, he was sent to the Oklahoma City Thunder in exchange for a future second round pick. So
with restrictions on it, which is like, okay, anything, it's like you can, it'll convey if it's 55 to 60. Other than that, sure, it's cash.
Did you see that article that was in the emails that we got from The Athletic about the, it was a draft recap from, it was a draft recap of The Athletic from John Hollinger, and he was talking about comparing fives in the NBA to running backs and how, like, you should never draft a big man, and how, and he was going over the free agent value of big men and making the case that they don't cost anything, so you could just pick them up whenever you want. So it's like a running back in the NFL. Like, why would you use a first round pick when you can just go anywhere?
Unless he's extremely talented, and unless he's got, you know, he can dribble the basketball and shoot threes, and there aren't many guys out, no, he's out there like that.
No, he's talking about a pure five. And so, I mean, imagine now if you're 7 feet tall.
Mm-hmm.
You could be 7 feet tall and a great athlete and still be considered not suitable for an NBA franchise.
Look at the way the game is.
Well, look at the way Tillman was listed. I was looking to see Tillman from MSU, 6'8". I was like, okay, I wonder where they have him rated. They had positional rankings, and they had him ranked as a center. So, I mean, that's what they want now. They want these 6'8 big bodies that can shoot threes. So it's almost a curse now.
Yeah.
To be 7 feet or over.
Today's day and age, that's absolutely right. And that's why it's surprising that kid Weissman went second. I mean, you're not going to see that too much anymore.
Hollinger said Weissman, whatever, like, because he's like a special athlete.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went over the other big men that were taken in the first round. Apparently, this Hollinger kid, who I'd never heard of, or whatever the hell his name is, Halliburton or whatever the hell. Halliburton's
a point guard for Iowa State.
Yeah, every draft maverick was out of their minds that Halliburton didn't get taken before he did. But, you know, how could you take this big man when Halliburton was still on the board? But it was very interesting to read just how, because he goes into the math of it. A lot of it I glazed over because it's for people far smarter than I, which is still positive.
And there's also the injury factor. I mean, the bigger the guy, the more, you know, open for injury they can be as well.
He just was going over how much they cost in free agency, and you really could pick up some 7-footer for $5 million. Like, if you just needed a rim protector, you just needed some guy to stand in the lane, that's $5 million.
Yeah.
And they're never going to play for you.
That's it.
That's the thing about Drummond, is that if you did trade for Drummond, which I think would be great,
for this team, it would be good. Like, I think that he would fit in well for.
But if we had him on the air, he would disagree. He would say that you're investing far too much in that position.
That's right. Drummond's going to make $28 million next year, something like that. I mean, remember, it was like 5 years ago, you needed a rim protector, a huge guy down low. Drummond was one of those guys. Remember Hassan Whiteside?
Yeah.
You know, from
yeah.
Miami, one of the top shot blockers in the league. But he got traded. He signed a max contract with Miami. They traded him to Portland. He's not on the floor at the end of games. He's barely playing 25 minutes a game.
Who's the guy that was with the Kardashian from Cleveland, the big shot blocker?
Oh, the one who was with the Lakers?
Lamar Odom?
No, the girl at the club was Tristan Thompson.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Remember Tristan Thompson? But you could pick up Tristan Thompson. You could pick up someone like that now.
If Thompson's a free agent, actually.
I mean,
so we'll
see. But the argument is that you could get a guy like that for no money.
Well, he's been a thorn in the Celtics side.
So. Yeah, but what he does is, but he's not an offensive threat. He's an active big body who can rebound for you, but he's never going to score points.
So if you wanted a guy like that, the argument is that you could get one on the cheap.
Yeah.
He's,
so I wonder how much you could get Tristan for, because he's like, I think he made like $15 million or something. Or how much was he making like this past year?
If it's 15, so say he gets 12. I mean, that's an argument that you could get. You could just, I mean, if he's considered an elite one, look at New Orleans Noel, a defensive specialist, a kid that was taken at the top of the draft. I don't think he was number one pick, but he was in the top three.
Remember, he blew out his knee, so he dropped to like 6 or 7 his senior year, last year at Kentucky. Tristan Thompson, last year made $18 million.
All right, so say you could get him for 12. And look at Nerlens Noel. I mean, that's a kid that's a defensive specialist, that's a seven-footer that you could get for no money.
I know. He's bounced around like crazy.
Yeah, so
that's what they're hoping Robert Williams is. I mean, they're hoping he's that guy.
Yeah,
I don't think he's ever going to be a three-point specialist, John, unless you know something that I don't know about.
We had a very long argument, remember, you, me, and Joe, about his offensive capabilities. Joe maintains that he can step back and knock down jumpers, and I maintain that if you left him alone in a gym, it would take him 15 tries to make five from beyond the foul line. So
yeah, well, then there lies the argument about, did you draft him too high? Could you have taken a guard at that same thing? He said if you were going to draft based on scarcity of product, it would be small forward, point guard, and then center would be last. He didn't go into all the positions. He just said small forward is the hardest position on the court to fill, then point guard, and then the center would be last.
It's all about wings. I mean,
in a distant last.
I would agree.
All right, we'll be back. Rich, what are we going to talk about?
Whatever happened to those James Harden to the Celtics rumors? We've got a little more details about what was going down. Some people have spoken, and it sounds like it was closer than you think.
Yeah, well, we could even get into if there was a dinner. Why not have a dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know, we might have butted heads, but hey, the guy, the guy's got a book. What are you going to do? All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now, more Touch Rich. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fred, hello.
Good morning, everyone, and happy Friday.
All positive day.
Waving another gate flag.
It's the Touch and Rich Show.
Let's all love this horse.
Featuring Rich Certainly and Smiling Fred Toucher.
Hooray for you.
Good morning. Happy Friday, everybody. It is the Toucher and Rich radio program. You can follow Johnny Wallgame over there at Twitter, Ken Griffey Rules. Rich runs the show accounts at Toucher and Rich on Twitter and Instagram. And I have reached over 20,000 followers on Instagram. Thank you all very much. That's very nice. And I have not been negative this hour. People did not like my negativity, so keeping it positive. But I do have something I want to bring up. And this is not negative. I would like someone to tell me how this is so. I follow Scott Zolak on Twitter, and he was having some replies to Chad Finn, who writes for The Globe. And a guy named Dan Greenberg, who stool green, he said, okay, you need to realize that sports talk radio is entertainment, and nobody knows what the hell is going on other than Hayward and the team. And that's about the Hayward situation, which is fair enough. And then Chad Finn said, Celtic sports radio is by the far the worst Boston sports radio. I would like to know what anyone has said that is wrong. Like, if it's so bad, I want to know what anyone who's, what is being said that's wrong. I don't understand that. There's a sentiment out there from, like, writers that the sports radio is so wrong. I don't, what? And I haven't gotten a good answer. Like, a lot of things going on in the world right now. A lot of people making claims without a lot of good answers or whys. Does anyone have an idea of what everyone on the radio, including us, is saying that's so terribly wrong?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I is it that people think that Gordon Hayward isn't good?
I would guess the complaints about the Celtics would be that they can't keep free agents, and that's true. So then I don't really, and then like, I mean, if the opinion is they should have moved up in the draft, I disagree. But then again, I feel, and I was listening, I listen to other city sports talk radio sometimes, and I have been recently, And all of them are not claiming to know anything about what was going on in the draft. They all say, and they all have told their audience doesn't know anything about the draft. So that's a universal truth.
This year more than most.
So, this year.
Yeah, I mean, of
this
course.
Year, I mean, they didn't play. So, I mean, they barely played. So there was no tournament. So, I mean, I'm really searching for if it's this terrible thing that everyone is so bad and so stupid. I want to know what has been said that is so false.
Is it that Ainge is a horrible GM?
I don't know. And even if you said Ainge is a horrible GM, which I completely disagree with, if you gave out reasons that free agents aren't staying and they haven't won a title, I mean, that's not... It's. I don't think it's right, but it's not categorically wrong.
The argument, as I listened on draft day, was that, you know, Ainge is always wheeling and dealing, and he's got all these picks, and nothing ever happens.
But if we would have Danny Ainge on, he would admit that he didn't want those picks, that he would have rather traded them for a veteran talent.
But I said that already.
A lot of promise, a lot of things. I have this, so we can move here, there, everywhere. But ultimately, when it came right down to it, he still picked 14th. He still picked 26th. But he had to unload a pick.
Okay, but Ainge has told us that the idea of getting these picks wasn't to keep them all.
Right.
So, I don't understand what's wrong, but I want to do this. John, go ahead. John. All right, John. Call back. Not your fault, the phone's fault, I would imagine. Dan, go ahead.
Hey, Freddie. I love the positivity. I just wanted to share something with you. I was listening to the Grateful Dead on Facebook the other day and posting about how much I love my family and my wife and recommending talking to goats. And I saw a guy who tipped over a cup of coffee and put 2020, right? And I thought it was so funny. I thought you'd think that was nice.
Well, Dan, that was an excellent phone call.
The grand slam right there.
You are a great listener. John, go ahead.
All right, Ted. You've nailed it with Chad Finn. It's more about this. Sports reporters are terrible covering the NBA. Yesterday, there must have been 25 different tweets coming out about Gordon Hayward's going to resign, Gordon Hayward's going to opt out, he's going to opt in. And radio's job is just to react to that. So he seems to have it completely wrong.
Which reporters were wrong, though, yesterday? Like that, because I don't even see that.
But I want to focus
on... They're just throwing out different things. No one knows. I mean, one minute he's going to the Knicks, one minute he's going to Atlanta. He's going to Charlotte, so no one knows.
Yeah, and you're right.
Like you said earlier, Fred, only Gordon Hayward and his agent knows.
And that's the thing, is that it's not our jobs to break the news. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. It's just reacting to the news. But especially with the Celtics, it seems that there's this belief that there's all this, like, you know, oh, you don't know. And that's fine. But what has happened that makes everyone so dumb on the radio? I don't know what the Celtics have done to make everyone so dumb on the radio.
I think that there is a fair assessment from some fans that there are people who brag about not watching the Celtics who will criticize the Celtics for a game they didn't watch.
Fair enough, but that's okay. But again, it's not what's wrong. Like, I don't know what they're saying that's so wrong. Again, the statement was Celtics sports radio is by far the worst Boston sports radio. And I don't think anyone on the air breaks, I don't know what goes on in the other sports station, but anyone on the air breaks down like a, you know, November game and says, oh, you know, if only Wanamaker would have, you know, fought through that screen and everything would have been, I mean, who cares? That's not entertaining.
No. As I said, if you do something like that, then you're not going to be on the air very long. But I just, I mean, I don't know. Everyone's sensitive. Fred, you know, you've said it. Patriots fans have been that way for, you know, ever, and they're probably the most vocal of all of them. I mean, anytime anybody speaks about anything, you know, it was like, well, I know more than you. This is Fred's worst. I dare you mention something about the MMA. Please mention anything about the MMA. That's another group of people that you're always going to hear that.
Well, MMA I get because you're kind of like in a club. Like, the MMA is this, like, you know, it's not super mainstream, and they think that they're part of some kind of club.
They like a band before they were cool.
Exactly. Yeah. That's exactly it. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, Fred, I just want to clarify what that tweet was all about yesterday. I think they were talking about Felger and Maz reporting the Bill Burt tweet yesterday. Nothing about you guys.
No, no, I didn't. I didn't take it personally, and I don't. I, certainly not about me. Because
what was the Bill Burr tweet?
I stay out of these matters. What was the Bill Burr tweet?
They were just saying that he's going to Indiana for Miles Turner and McDermott.
Well, I mean, I don't mind. Okay. Like, if there's a real reporter who says that he's heard something, I find that interesting because there's always going to be smoke one way or the other, and you know maybe there's no truth to it, but you just have to kind of pick and choose between who you think is reputable and who isn't. So I got no problem with that. That part's, you know, hey, here's a scenario. He could go this way or that way. There's no harm in talking about that.
Yeah, I thought Inzolak was kind of sticking up for Fugger and Maz, and I don't listen to 4 hours of Fugger and Maz every day, but I haven't seen anything about why it's so terrible. You know, why when Sports Talk Radio talks about the Celtics, it's offending like a super Celtic fan. I don't get it. I mean, John calls the effing games. I mean, Danny Ainge didn't do what he wanted to do. He wasn't able to do it. I mean, his plan wasn't what they have right now. Now, it could be a lot worse. I mean, they have building blocks that they control, so it's not an unmitigated disaster, but it's also not a team that can bring in big-time free agents. It's not a destination team. Unfortunately, that's what the NBA is right now. I mean, that's clear-cut.
Although they brought in Gordon Hayward. And that was huge.
I know. But then you could make the argument then Hayward wants to leave.
That is true.
Al Horford too.
Now, getting that, yeah, they got Al Horford too. Now, getting them is one thing. Keeping them, that is something you can look at and say that that's becoming an issue. But the getting them, that's a narrative that in the past several years has kind of been shot down.
Right. But the other part of it is, I mean, look, they lost Al Horford, and everyone was very surprised, and everyone thought that they would take a step back without Al Horford on the team, and in reality, they got better. I mean, if and when they end up being a good move,
you look at what Al Horford's become.
If and when they do lose Gordon Hayward, does anyone think this team's going to take a major step back?
No. Nope.
Same thing.
No.
And the Kyrie thing was just him being a nut. I don't think that was if you want to talk about that and him leaving, that's just because you're dealing with
media. Yeah. But the thing is that if you can't have it both ways, though. If you crap on a radio host for saying the team's going to be worse without Gordon Hayward, well, that completely nullifies the argument that everyone was making about Gordon Hayward leading up to him leaving, which was how he's underrated and no one understands how good he is. So again, that's both ways too. So I don't know. I thought it was interesting. I think it's
one of those things where I think he's really good, and if they kept him, it would be fine. I think it's great. I don't think they're going to take a big step backwards unless he does what nobody wants, and that is him just be a flat-out free agent and screw the Celtics as far as their money is concerned. Then it's like, all right, well then, you know, F me.
And that's as bad as things could have turned out with Gordon Hayward.
Yep. If that ends up happening, you can look back and just go, well, that was, I mean, not a disaster, but it wasn't good.
All right, we're going to break. When we come back, we'll take a couple phone calls, and then we'll have Burt Breer on, and my hour will be up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Coming up next at 10, Sports Talk while you're on the clock. Zolak and Bertrand. Right now, it's Toucher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is it. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Positive Friday. About to wind down. But people did not like that I shared my experiences at the art museum. And I had someone on Instagram that was very vocal about it, using big words, that personal friends of mine got involved in that conversation, which I thought was funny. Jim, go ahead.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How's it going, guys?
What's up?
So, quick preface. I'm 35 years old. I never listened to sports talk radio. I started listening to you guys about 4 or 5 years ago. And I thought to myself, what is it that I love about these guys so much? And then I found out that you guys started in music radio before sports radio. And that's the best part of this show. So I just wanted to say that. Fred, you're the best.
Thank you.
Rich, you're cool too, but I've tuned in for Fred. That's the bottom line.
All right. I want to be loved. Love me more.
So you're talking about Instagram followers, which is great. I follow you. I watch some of your live stuff. I almost bought that hot chip because of you.
Yeah, and, baby.
But anyway, I follow this page called Passenger Shaming, and they had this funny meme last night about a girl having to break up with her boyfriend when they land in Bali because he starts clapping. And I thought, oh, man, this is Fred. So I DM it to you, and I thought of you. And I'm just wondering, like, you know, you try to interact with some of your fans on via DM. I'm sure you get a lot of DMs.
I do get a lot of DMs, and I apologize that I got it, and I thought it was funny. And the thing about Instagram is that when you start interacting with people, they move into a different folder. And then everyone was so cool when I went to rehab that I got like 1,000 messages from people, and it would have been impossible to answer all of them, and because I was in rehab for one thing, and I didn't have a phone, so I really just don't know how to do it, but I do appreciate it. I mean, I do get a ton of messages on Instagram, and to be honest with you, for every 1,000, there might be 2 negative ones. So I do appreciate it, and I should reach back more, but it's just hard. Email me at toucher@98.5thesports.
The best ways just speaking for me, the best ways to get a hold of it, call us during the show, like that. Like, that's the best way. The other way is, for me, you can tweet us at Toucher and Rich during the show. To be honest, I kind of lay off the social media after that. But during the show, that's the best time to do it. But call us. That's my main thing. It's like, you know, I have something I want to say. Well, then call us. We like hearing from you.
And the other thing is stuff with addictions and mental health is I've been told this by experts too, is I can't interact with you because I don't know. And it would be bad for you and I if I start, you don't want advice from me. I don't have enough time, and I'm certainly not in a place to be giving advice right now. I'm fine. I'm good, but not good enough to be sharing any. I don't have any secrets to tell, and it would just, it's in this community, the mental health and recovery community, it's just something that I shouldn't do. So don't take that personally. And I do read all of them, negative or positive. And if you send me a really negative, nasty one, I block you, because why do I need that in my life? And if that's a small victory for you, congratulations. But I mean, I don't want to see it. I mean, it's my little piece of the internet. I don't want you, like, crapping on me. So, I mean, if it's something like, hey, you know, if it's something well thought out, like, you said this and here's why I think this is wrong, that's fine. And then that's great. But if it's something like, hey, you drunk, you stupid, like, you're like, I'm going to bang your wife or something like that. Like, I don't know. Like, no. All right. I see it. I think that you're a sick individual that is lonely and reaching for something, and I block you. And then if you make another account and send it again, it makes me think even less of you, and I just block you again. Doesn't make me feel bad. So there you go. To make someone feel bad, you have to attack them on something that they're hiding or they're ashamed of. And I'm pretty out in the open with you guys, so you'd have to hit a pretty good muscle to get me upset about something you wrote me. All right, Bert Breer's going to join us. I'm sure something's out there that you could do. He's going to join us. There'll be no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.